I am recording. I am not streaming.
Very good, sir.
Oh yeah,
No, where'd the other half of my glasses go?
and I have the one on my terrible eye. Beauty and the Beast. You're in review. Ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba. Thank you for joining us for Beardy and the Beast Year in Review, Tokyo Drift, a discussion into last year of Beardy and the Beast. As always, if you enjoy what we do, please like and subscribe, or check out beardyandthebeast.com for a full list of services we're available on. My name is Drew, and always, he has perpetual plot armor, Devin.
True, I do.
Well,
Expected.
happy podcast birthday, my friend.
Yay!
So this
Ashley was here to be going, congratulations.
congratulations. Well, I mean, she started congratulating us back. So this marks the third year in review that we're doing, where we discuss the last year of Beardy and the Beast, and just so happens to be approximately the third anniversary of Beardy and the Beast. It's amazing that we like got to 3 years. Seems like just yesterday we were recording the year in review one.
Right? it's been good. Get some milestones this year. That was nice. That one random video that we did that just did really well and
Well, we did well in the last few months, right? We released our 100th video,
Yes.
and we released a video that did thousands of views of actual legitimate, like these are people interacting and commenting views, which was super cool.
Yeah. Exactly what we've wanted to have happen with it. Like the interaction's the big thing.
Well, that one was super funny to me because that was kind of like a offhand. We had already recorded something. We didn't feel like gaming. And then I was just like, Devin, I'm going to show you a thing.
Yeah.
And then we recorded watching the entire BTS Wings, followed by two music videos, and released that as a video. And it did amazingly well. It was caught up by Army, who were very nice to us and kind of filled in some of the gaps that we were missing because they actually watched the video and listened to what we were saying, and they didn't clown on us for being wrong.
No, they got what we were doing. I think that was one of the nicest things that happened there. It's like it wasn't the, oh no, someone's wrong on the internet. It was cool. I can see where you're coming from. Here's some other background information. But it was really kind of neat seeing your guys' blind interpretation. Which again made for just some interesting conversation in the comments. So
It does make me wish that there was more like K-pop content that did that kind of amazing storyline and lore like you find in BTS. Like there's some fun stuff like with EXO, and but I think a lot of the other stuff has been kind of less thick, less deep.
Yeah. And the only real one that comes across to me where something similar to that is something like Poppy. But I mean, that was a very different thing and hard to find a storyline. Like, just that, I mean, there's something there. It's just not quite as tight, I guess, as the BTS one was. Except for that little bit of arc when she started going metal, which was amazing. You can't really do the same type of thing because it there's that minimalist aspect and other weird oddities around Poppy.
Oh, for sure. And hitting some of our other milestones, we have production milestones that we hit, as in we got new avatars.
Yes.
We've got an actual permanent intro song. This is the permanent intro song.
True song. Stop us from doing a proper intro song for this one here.
What do you mean? That was the proper intro song. you gotta stay true to your roots, otherwise you're a dirty sellout. Which, by the way, I'll sell out anytime.
Yes, we'll sell out and not say anything negative about what we're selling out about.
Will
we say anything good about it's a different question.
And the background music, which honestly I feel has made a difference in our cast. They fulfill, or not fulfill, they fill sections of the conversation that are less, I guess, engaging or have forward momentum.
Yeah.
I guess would be the better way to say.
I can say the first, for the first video that we had it in, it was super, it threw me off. Because, like, I was at work, and like the last one at work while I'm kind of listening to the video, and I'm just hearing this music. I'm like, is there someone here? Did like someone leave their laptop on? What's going on? It's because it's been so long. Like, we just never had it.
I got all that royalty free music and sound effects like months ago.
Yeah.
And I had uploaded them to our file repository and forgot they existed.
Yeah. But it's I think it's a big thing. It's like there's a lot there too, so I know it's gonna, you know, figuring out what we want for certain tones and such, it'd be kind of interesting to do too. So,
well, I've been trying to do that with the cast that we've used it on so far, trying to choose things from the repository that kind of suit the feel of the conversation and show, and then kind of underlying that. Unfortunately, neither of us really have the time or ambition to make the music come in on cues and make sure like the specific clip is really relevant to what we're saying. For me, like, my strategy is I have four or five different clips that suit the feel that I think of the thing we're discussing and the discussion. Yeah. And I kind of just rotate between those.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, some channels that I've definitely seen where it's like, why can I only hear the music? This should be background. It's just kind of that nice, as you said, adds a bit of flow to it. And I mean, it was something that I know some of our viewers said, like, back from like episode one or two.
Well, and like appreciating that suggestion, because it's very much true. I mean, you have less difficulty with it than me, but I try to inflect when I'm speaking. I try not to sound like a monotone robot, and having some variation in some degree when I'm speaking is always nice to get, you know, that helping hand from the music.
Yeah. Just let the music do it in post.
speaking of doing it in post, not gonna lie, it's become more and more difficult at it. Not because I'm like demotivated or anything, or like just editing is kind of tough.
Yeah.
Just to sit down, find the time, do it. Like, truth be told, I've been constantly behind for 4 months ish.
Yeah, I'm definitely not behind at all.
I mean, when that comes out, I mean, there's a very specific month that should be around, IMO.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you.
But the amount of like off-track stuff or completely irrelevant points of the conversation, or things that like I'm literally talking to like one of my best friends, so those kind of conversations usually shouldn't be made public.
Especially when we're ever doing anything with Ashley.
That being said, there was, I mean, if you go back and listen to Kiss Kiss, like, it was quite a good cast, and I thought a funny cast.
Oh yeah. But
I
did not make it easy on you.
There is like 8 or 9 transitions in that are incredibly abrupt from one topic to another. And I mean, if you can pick up on them, like, you're a genius, because I did such good work that only 2 really came out. Like, when did they start talking about this?
Yeah. For context, I think the episode was about 40 minutes, and I'm pretty sure the recording was about 2 hours.
No, it was like hour 30.
Hour 30?
Hour 20, hour 30, yep.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure I apologized to Drew about 8 times, and it's like, have fun editing.
No, I think I called you out during it. I'm like, now I have to edit that out. Stop.
Yeah, you did that too. And as I said, it was my turn to keep it off the rails.
Well, it's cool. Like, with Ashley doing her new online zine project, which I'm actually really excited for, that is the House of Fog. I think that's going live in February sometime. I have to check in the date, because I want to do a submission, right?
Yeah.
It was interesting, us doing that recording with Ashley for that project she's doing, which by the time this comes out might be live, might not be, whatever. Because we stayed so on topic, except for one little minor thing right at the end. Mm. Like, I was surprised that we remained so on topic.
Oh, it was hard.
I'm pretty sure didn't I lecture you beforehand? And I was like, Devin, you've got to try.
I mean, it's possible. I think one of the big differences with the House of Fog one, though, is there was a very specific style that was wanted. Like, we knew we were doing like a couple of short form videos that could be broken up, put into a quick article with the audio components,
yep,
as opposed to a lot of what we do, like, even when we're discussing movies, even when we don't have a guest, it's still fairly free form. We jump around topics using the film as our main framework,
yeah,
most of the time.
Half the time is us talking about it, and then like a third of it is us just like trashing on superhero movies.
Yeah,
it's only happened a couple times.
I don't know what you mean.
How dare you! How dare you! You ruined our childhoods. Anyways, yeah, knowing that we had specific topics that we were actually like, not prepared for, but pre-prompted for, like, these are the things I want to touch base with, this is what this conversation is going to be about, also allowed us to go in with more well-formed thoughts, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is, not going to lie, like, putting some shade on myself, sometimes I need that. Because when I'm forming new thoughts and new patterns, it can sometimes stunt my speech for a while and make me talk very slow.
Yeah. And I think one of the harder things with that one there was knowing that it was being cut up into chunks.
Mm.
So having to forget what we talked about in part one when we were talking in part two, because like outside of the cast, we knew these topics were linked, and we kind of had just personal discussions about the links between them.
Yeah.
And separating that was was a challenge. Yeah, you just had to focus on it differently. And
yeah, I mean, it was an interesting thing. I wouldn't mind doing more structured things like that. If I were to consider, if anyone were to make a comment that we need at least some more structured or a structured project in our mix midst, yeah, I would take that full heart, like fully, because we have a very free flowing conversation led method where we can start by talking about, you know, some in-depth complex, you know, mystery drama, and then end up talking about Darkwing Duck for 20 minutes.
Yeah. We would never do that.
That hasn't happened yet. But
no, it was Gargoyles.
I mean,
I think, though, to be fair, the Gargoyles thing was actually relevant to what we were talking about.
I think it was very relevant.
Yeah.
Which I guess, so over the last year then, what would you say was your favorite cast or discussion?
You know, this was actually it's a really interesting year. I mean, there was a lot of good conversations we had. I think Mean Girls was really fun, but there wasn't much to say to the movie because it was good.
Well, because the movie said it so well.
Yeah. So while I think it was one of my favorite movies to watch and discuss with you, I don't think it was necessarily one of the best casts. Just because of that. I honestly was, our summer of sequels was very interesting. I think clearly there were some that were craft.
Well, that being said, in the craft cast defense, we're talking about the cast, not the film.
Yeah. No, I think we had a lot of good conversations in it. The film was terrible. I really actually enjoyed, I think, almost all of the summer sequels. I really enjoyed. I think we both came out of that with better conversation than we thought we would. And like some pretty good appreciation for some of these movies that are traditionally shit on. I definitely think the BTS one was fantastic, especially being and as you said, completely out of nowhere, just sure, let's go. And something we've kind of talked about, just, you know, just recording.
Well, that's the thing. Like, so for me, I consider the BTS cast a co-winner of what my favorite cast is. And I knew that ahead of time, just like, because there's certain things I like to touch on during our year in review. Yeah. And I knew this would be one of the topics. And I knew ahead of time, like, BTS was going to be a co-winner for this topic for me, because we actually got to have a free flowing discussion that remained completely on topic, and people who came across it could see how our opinions form and how we approach similar end results based on different like stimuli.
Yeah.
So we might end up liking something, but it's for completely different reasons, right?
Yeah.
I think the co-winner is actually two pieces.
Right.
And I'm cheating here because this is also a different structure than our usual recordings.
Mm-hmm.
And we also only had the tail end of it, and that was Firefly going into Serenity.
Yes.
I think the conversations that we had as an ongoing thing through Firefly were top notch and some of our best content. And then just coming into Serenity and having that lead up. Like, we had the runway down, the weather was perfect, the lights were lit, and we landed it. The conversation was wonderful. And I think one of the things I appreciate about it is through our conversations, I completely changed my perspective. I used to say that Firefly was mid-ish, and Serenity was really good.
Yeah.
And I'm completely different now. I think Serenity was kind of mid-ish, and Firefly was quite good.
Yeah. It was... I really loved how that was. As you said, it's very different format. And some of that comes from it being the second wall format, mm-hmm. where there is... it's still freeform, but there's definitely more structure to it. But I mean, to have a series and movie that we were both very familiar with, and just looking at it with that different eye and going, like, oh no, Wash is trash. Simon, you know, he's a pretty good guy.
Literally, I go from hating Simon and thinking Wash is the best thing ever to being like, there is nothing to Wash except being Zoe's beard, and Simon is actually probably the most complex character on the show.
Yep. And then just like some of the revelations we say with Serenity, because that was the same way. It's like, no, Serenity is really, like, it's a really strong follow up. And like, as we were watching, it's like, there was a, like, just straight up character assassination with,
oh, yeah.
With some of the stuff. It's like, stuff that could have worked if, you know, it was spread out through a season and a half, like I think the original plan would have been. But with none of that lead up, it's like, nope, you just literally got rid of all of the development with Jane.
Oh, that like, all they did is they took Jane from the first half of Firefly and made that the character in Serenity.
Oh no, it was worse than that. It was like from the first episode.
Yeah.
Because like that was one thing. It's like, no, Jane was also, again, very deep. Like his character development was like right from the get-go. It was just a very slow, wasn't as dramatic as we saw with some of the other characters.
Well, I think the problem there is like, we're 100% right. But yeah. For the cast and the characters to feel more well-rounded, you actually needed that kind of internal semi-antagonist within the crew to kind of round it out.
Yeah.
And I think they could have done better with something related to Shepard. I mean, I guess, no, they totally had it with River.
Yeah.
They didn't even need to do that with Jane.
Yeah, no. No, they didn't. And I mean, if they really wanted to, like, have a real antagonistic force, that's where, like, some of the speculation we were talking about is, like, they were setting up Saffron to be someone who steps in further.
Mm-hmm.
And like, again, pretty sure if it had been a season instead, we would have had Saffron there as well, being that bit of antagonistic force. And I don't know, actually seeing Mal kind of collapse from everything that would happen, like seeing that descent would have been nice.
I do say Mal's character under scrutiny is actually very good. Like, you understand why he's falling apart. I guess that's the reason why we had a problem in Serenity, was because Mal's character only makes sense if you understand Firefly.
Yeah.
However, the first half of Serenity was for new viewers.
Yeah.
Make it watchable and approachable, which, given what it was, making it watchable and approachable was the right choice.
Oh, 100%. It was the right choice. It's just it's more of that. It causes narrative issues, which again, when you're dissecting a piece,
yeah,
it becomes even more so. And
well, then I guess that makes me wonder then, from all the films that we watched, and I'm going to specify films because we've already praised BTS enough. which one did you think was like a surprisingly good film?
So again, there was two that I think were surprisingly good. Most of what we did, I think, kind of had a pretty good, decent idea that they were going to be. Again, I was expecting to like crap all over Species 2.
Mm.
And like, I'm pretty sure we both were like, nope, this is better than Species was. And we did both of those movies this year. And again, Queen of the Damned, I think, because I hadn't seen it before. It was, all I heard was people crapping on it and how bad it was. And as I said during that cast, I was very glad that I watched it divorced of all of that, because I could see it for what it was, which was a really crappy sequel to Interview with the Vampire, but overall, pretty decent film.
Yeah, it's honestly, it fit the time that it came out. Like, I'm pretty sure, I mean, I'm just guessing, but like, Romeo Must Die was probably, no, that was
the same, right around the same time.
Yeah, Ripalia.
Ripalia.
Oh. We got called out on a comic there, hey?
Yeah.
In a comic. Someone was like, why you be chuckling after you say, oh yeah, you two better keep it cute. And I'm like, that's one of the best comments I've ever seen on any platform or service. But also, to explain that is, we think she had a lot of promise as both an actress and as a music entity.
Yeah.
We've talked off a stream about some of the stuff that like happened to that poor girl, especially when it comes to like associations with other people in the music business. The reason why we chuckle is at this point, it's become a bit of a meme.
Yeah.
But we do, of course, mean full respect to Alia.
Oh, 100%.
But it's just, there's so many ties to Alia, and she keeps coming up in things that
she really does. Yeah.
In her conversations, like,
she had a lot of bangers during that time too. Like, Me Again, you know, singing on like one of my favorite movies of all time, like Anastasia. She was on the soundtrack for that. And again, you have the movies like Romeo Must Die, and
which, like, is really, really interesting to me, because like, she had those bangers, and a lot of them were movie soundtrack, movie songs.
Yeah.
And that just happens to be what Queen of the Damned was, which is the best movie soundtrack, soundtrack that exists.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
Queen of the Damned isn't one of mine. But what I appreciate is, through our conversation, I actually grew a whole new respect for Jonathan Davis, where I previously didn't have much. Mm-hmm. And now I just, like, I understand, especially when I compare, you know, the complexity of lyrics between Corey Taylor and Jonathan Davis. It's like night and day.
Oh, Jonathan, yeah.
Davis is just so, like, high up there.
Yeah. You look at all of them, Davis, Reznor, Corey Taylor. Like, seeing how different they all are.
For me, I would say the film that was surprisingly good for me, and probably the best film that I saw of this last year, like, in quality, and we have some tough competition this year, like Girl Who Left Through Time. We have, you know, Firefly, Serenity combo, Sicario 2, which was actually way better than we both anticipated it was going to be. Oh, yeah. Kiss Kiss Can Bang, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, The Boy and the Heron, or How Do You Live? For me, it was Mean Girls.
Mm.
That was such a wonderful film.
Right, 'cause you hadn't seen that one before.
No, really? And it knocked my socks off. I was like, I could not only rewatch this, but I can recommend it to people.
Oh yeah, oh, it is a perennial that I'll go back and watch. Like, nope, I have no issues ever just sitting down and watching this movie. I'm hesitant about the remake, though. I'm a little less hesitant about it now. Obviously, at the time of recording this, I haven't seen it, and who knows, maybe it will when it gets released. But I think it's actually based off the musical, as opposed to the movie, which changes things a little bit. But
I mean, source material. Still hesitant
about it. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah. So, no. It's just, there's something about Mean Girls that's just, oh, it's got that timeless aspect to it again.
Well, I mean, it can be iconic for any generation.
I mean, it's what, 20 years old at this point.
Mean Girls?
I'm pretty sure.
No, it's older than that, low. Isn't it?
No. I don't think it's older than that.
2004, you're dead on. I thought it was like 2000 or 1999, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
But then again, that's just the timeless aspect and what they're going for in the film. And we discussed that during the cast. It's just like, they don't want it to feel dated when you watch it. Do kind of have to give props to Sicario 2, though. Like, it was a close contender for this one for me. We were both so worried that it was going to be a generic action movie with no substance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, let's face it. That's what we've seen from a lot of these movies. I mean, it's not Sicario. There's definitely, but it didn't feel completely out of place. It just felt different. I mean, the ending aside, where it's kind of like,
we were
tread the line.
Well, that's the thing, like the way that we thought it would go because of the intrigue and the complexity of Sicario, we thought it was just going to turn into a generic action movie.
Yeah.
And if you look at our emo song title of Sicario 2, it's literally Sicario 2 is not a generic action movie.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing that I remember around that one is like, I think the biggest issues that came from Sicario 2 was it almost tried to mimic the first one too much in places. And when we didn't have a character like Kate there to give us the tension, some of that stuff fell flat. And I think we talked about that. It's like, we needed to really focus more on Dora the Explorer than,
that's what I was wondering, like, if they made Dora more.
Isabella, that's her name.
I mean, we're not being racist. She literally played Dora. Like, this is the meme now. if they had used, if Isabella was a politician's daughter who didn't necessarily understand the underworld,
yeah,
and they used her as the proxy like we had Kate, it makes sense. But I thought you were going to say is like it kind of fell short because you didn't know what hola, soy Dora meant. You got to Dora before I did, unfortunately.
Yeah, or they needed to play into the fact that she did understand what was going on a lot more than they did.
Well, they structured it like that's how it was going to be.
Yeah. But again, a lot. It doesn't come across as like a surprise to me because going into that one, I'm kind of like, I didn't have expectations. Like, my expectations was just don't turn into a generic action flick. As long as it does that, I think it would have been more of a surprise if it was at that same level as Sicario was.
I used to be the king of being objective when going into a film and like having no expectations. But the way that films have been is I fully expected it to be a generic action film.
Yeah.
And that is why it's elevated for me, that it ended up being surprisingly good.
Yeah. No, that's fair. So slightly different. We don't exactly have a big list to pick from. I think both of us feel that way. What one were you most, like what film were you most disappointed with?
This is an obvious answer. This is, and it's because of a mistake, but American Tail. We expected the greatness of Five-O Goes West, and like we wanted to be a little bit more diverse in our holiday celebration this year with our Festivus. So, it's like, oh, American Tail, you know, like a Jewish story happens around the time of Hanukkah, et cetera, et cetera. And then just that it's not a good film.
No.
Like, it, I think it even probably finds it difficult speaking to anyone specifically.
Yeah.
Because it didn't even go full-fledged in, or even like half-fledged into like a social commentary or a strife, the strife of immigrants in New York City, or, you know, lighthearted children's thing. It was just so all over the place.
Yeah, it really didn't feel like it knew what it wanted to be. And it means, like, don't get me wrong, I know Don Bluth films can be hit or miss, but this is the only one that I've heard most people call a hit that was definitely a miss. Right? Like, everyone knows Thumbelina is not the best.
Yeah.
But I mean, generally, you think of Bluth, you think of, again, Nim, American Tail, Land Before Time, All Dogs Go to Heaven.
No. You think of Nim, Five Goes West.
Yes.
All Dogs Go to Heaven. Like,
yes, but people say American Tail. And I think that's exactly it. It just...
Well, it was tough. Like, it felt like the first two episodes of a cartoon that got canceled, right?
Yeah.
And you go like, yeah, I guess I understand why it was canceled.
Yeah. And then we got the revival in Fievel.
There we go. That's going to be our Fievel Goes West. Fievel Goes West, the revival of Fievel.
Yeah. Can we do more sequel, more summer? Two sequel, two summer?
I mean, I don't. At this point, I think we should probably retire the Fast and the Furious topics ones, because we had Beauty and the Beast, and we had Beauty, Two Beast, and now we have Beauty and the Beast, Year in Review, Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, sure, we ended on the worst one. No, I agree.
I mean, that'd be saying, like, they get better every time. They shot a car into space.
Yeah.
So did you have a different one, or are you just like on board with the American Tail?
100% on board. I honestly think, like, this is one of those, this year was really good with what we had for the most part. Like, we knew what to expect with Kraft Legacy. That one is not a shock of being bad. So really the only other one that kind of sits there was Little Shop of Horrors, but I think that was, I don't think the movie itself was bad. I think there were some issues in the movie, but when you look at it as a one-act play, I think the biggest issue when it came to Little Shop was we basically taken a little bit of a break. So the podcast itself was a bit rough, and to
be extra fair, I am not the biggest musical guy. Mm-hmm. So I was definitely playing on waters that I was not familiar with. But I also, that one I can't give a worst and I can't give it a best. I can't even, I can't put it on the scale. And the reason for that is I didn't enjoy it. However, it was clear to me that it was supposed to be a musical stage play.
Yeah.
And they accomplished that. Unfortunately, it just didn't translate well.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate, because they did something great, which is they brought it to film and stayed true, but that might have not been the right choice.
Yeah, that's what I felt too. It was Little Shop of Horrors, one of those films that's like, I think I've seen it all, but I've never actually watched it all before. So I was very familiar with the basic story, the basic plot line. But yeah, it being a one-act play, it just didn't translate quite as well. We did learn that Disney may or may not make musicals during that podcast.
I mean, we all know my position in this. And that's Audrey, too, is officially a Disney princess.
Yeah. And, like, To be fair, like, the movie in and of itself, it was all right. I really think it was just more the cast itself. Like, bear in mind, we, you know, actually released the Little Hours, and this is the only recording that we're kind of like, should we even bother releasing it? Because like from the recording back end part, it was just, we were clunky, as you said. Yeah, we weren't quite familiar.
But unrelated.
At the same reasons. time, really helped with Sweeney Todd.
Yeah. Well,
because it did give us that time to build up.
I agreed, and like, I would like to think any of our listeners who listen to those, like Sweeney Todd, Little Shop, and then Sweeney Todd, would see how much more in sync, and how much growth that I had.
Yeah.
When discussing musicals and how much I learned regarding it. I mean, this year was a little sparse and just films altogether. It's like I had a medical break, and then we didn't record for like months almost.
Yeah.
And we didn't even really have that many releases during that time. And that's probably why things came out so solid, because we might have played it a little safe.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's stuff in, I mean, the Summer of Sequels could have gone. Actually, you know what? Summer of Sequels was going to end up gold anyways.
Yeah.
Because if they were terrible, we'd have lots to talk about. And if they were unexpectedly good, we'd have lots to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, that was one of those ones where we knew what we're going into. And really, it's like the only thing that's missing from the Summer Sequels was, you know, Silent Hill 2, but that's because we did it already. The biggest thing that I find funny, like with our release schedule, just because we had a lot of kind of moving parts around our releases and recordings this year. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the fact that we may or may not have some things recorded from, well, we have some things in the bank from, it'll be about a year recorded by the time this gets released that we haven't put out yet.
I didn't realize we hadn't released Kiki's yet. That needs to come out.
Yeah, no, we haven't done Kiki's yet. I mean, again, like Ghost of Mars.
I mean, it's always good to have Ghosts of Mars in the bag. Sin City and Ghosts of Mars is coming. We have talked about it. We might have even referenced it multiple times over the last year.
We recorded Sin City because we talked about it in our first year in review.
Ghost of Mars, because I was like, no, there's a movie with Ice-T and Jason Statham in it. And you're like, what? And I'm like, Ghost of Mars. Oh, yeah, and because Ghost of Mars was going to be a sequel to Escape from L.A.
Yeah. Escape from L.A. Right. Yeah, we're going to use that as the transition. And Scylla's in that one, too, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
but I didn't know about that until like a year after we recorded.
that's fair. No, there's just been a lot of kind of things that we've had popping around. It's like Boy in the Heron or How Do I Live? We were prepared to do that movie in January when it released in Japan.
Yeah.
And then things like Mario as well. It's like, sometimes there's some movies like, nope, we're going to go to the theater. We're going to catch something new that's not a superhero movie. Be able to have those types of discussions around them. But just really kind of jumbled up our normal release schedule, which isn't an issue. I think it worked out well.
Yeah, it was fine. Like, they're not going to be considered the linchpins of the channel. That being said, like, looking at the schedule now, I do see one section of things that I'm very excited to release.
Is it the ones listed after Sin City there?
I mean, yes, all those are good. Well, there's, I guess, two, because our next, second wall release is going to be Her Lie in April.
Yeah.
which, great series, spoiler alert. And then a new format that we've been kind of playing around with, which for a filler arc is Batby Hay.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to do really well.
Yeah.
Really, that's a completely different style than what we do, and is actually more akin to what we did for House of Fog with Ashley.
Yeah. I think that's something that I love, the filler arc, just kind of doing those odd things. There's some interesting stuff that we've done. Still looking forward to at some point playing Journey. And this time here, as we talk about playing Journey, it's not like, you know, where we had it recorded
and then we released it soon afterwards.
Yes, soon afterwards, if you subtract about 360 days.
That is incorrect, sir. Like 150. Unless I got the years wrong, which is possible. No, but we've done a lot of interesting. So we've done through the filler arc, we've done, technically speaking, the collabs for the Foggy Isle Film Festival. Yep. We've done the 100th video celebration. We've done the Batby Hay year in reviews. We want to do Journey. We've done the BTS thing.
Yeah.
So, like, it's all very different. But it's a nice place for us to experiment. And, like, say we come across something and it's like, no, that's actually what the channel should be about. Could happen.
Yeah. It's nice to have that. It's nice to have our filler arc not be like most filler arc and actually quality.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe we should cut it out. I mean, I guess if they put some filler into Carol on Tuesday's season 2, then it might have been good.
Yeah.
The
I don't know. What's season 2?
Oh, yeah, I forgot. There is no season 2.
There is no season 2. Only Angela. We need to take that the Doki Doki Literature Club. Instead of only Monica, only Angela. Just Angela.
Speaking of Angela.
Release it.
Release the Angela cut. This kind of brings us to my actual favorite topic that we tend to discuss in the year in review. And that is talking about our clickbait.
It's been a while since I've gone.
Been a while.
It's been a while.
Been a while.
All right. I am looking at the Instagrams.
Which, by the way, at Beardy, that is ATBEARDY on Instagram. Check it out. Give us some internet points, maybe a comment.
Especially on the Shantae ones. ignore the record ones. This is important.
Devin's life may rely on the results of this.
Oh, where are we starting again?
It's just above Shantae. Your Shantae tattoo.
Yes. All right.
So.
Oh, I forgot about Pity Party.
Yeah, well, that was
last year. Was that last year?
Yeah, it was last year.
Yeah, okay. Still forgot about it.
Great movie. Check it out, Pity Party. Was it Ashley E. Good on YouTube? She's got a bunch of short films. They're all great. Funny. It's got that kind of like pre-corrupted millennial kind of sarcastic, but not like dumbly so kind of humor.
It's
kind of dry and it's fun.
And there may or may not be a great director's commentary.
Oh, dude. That,
yeah, it's one of the actors in there.
One of the best actors.
I hear he stole the entire scene.
All right, so clickbait. There are some bangers. Not gonna lie, there are bangers in this one. Like, there's maybe, usually I'm overly critical about like one of them. In this case, like, I didn't get the color coding of Mean Girls quite right. But I had already been spending a lot of time, and the Sweeney Todd one is great, except you're just a little blurry and I couldn't figure out how to fix that.
You know, the worst part about the Sweeney Todd one that would have been absolutely hilarious if we got other clickbait done a lot sooner than we did. There was lore behind that. That beard was gone the day after we'd made that clickbait.
It's true. And now I am the beardy and you are the beast.
You were always the teapot.
Actually, you know what? I'm not keen on the little shops one. But this, we're talking negative. So excluding the Beardy and the Beast 100th video one, which honestly, wonderful clickbait with our new avatars. For me, it's either Die Hard 2 or American Tail.
I think American Tail, I think, worked well. I honestly think one of the best, I think the Mario one.
you like that I just took a picture and put our beards on it.
More accurately, I like the fact that you photoshopped in your lack of beard at the time.
What? No, I put my beard in.
No, but you didn't have, you were, no, you put your chin in. You were shaven at the time.
Oh.
You just got your chin.
No, there's a beard.
Is there a beard?
Yeah, it looks like my beard.
It's a very, very faint.
You can see that streak that is totally not graying. Oh, you know what? I changed my answer.
Okay.
Best one is the girl who leapt through time.
Oh, okay. I love what we've done with the with a lot of our anime ones. It's absolutely amazing, and I think what I love about the girl who leapt through time was it's I can see the culmination of all of our anime ones in this one, right? So we've got the just kind of the bit of subtlety, like, you know, changing out the art style to match like what we did with Cowboy Bebop, and like actually doing what you were trying to do with Perfect Blue and it actually translating properly.
The Perfect Blue one is so good if you understand what it is.
Yeah. But and that's what makes the girl who leapt in time one jump out even more, because there's no questioning what was being trying to be done there. And again, you did like changing the style, like changing my image to kind of match that painting style. You got the reflection down perfect. Like, I think that one's top tier, and it's really between those two, that one and the Mario one that I love. Yeah.
No, I'll give special props to the Kiss Kiss one. Not that it's particularly good, but it made me realize that the body double in the water was actually a dude.
What?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, they pulled a dude out, and then it was a girl in the film.
Huh. Yeah, I guess if you're like staring at the frame long enough, you'd notice something like that. I do think the American Tail one looks pretty good too. I think we had some banger ideas for a few of these things, for a few of the thumbnails after the fact.
Yeah.
Like, again, as you mentioned, Little Shop, I kind of agree. It's probably one of the not as strong ones. I think you did actually really well with like replacing you as Rick Moranis. But the idea had like kind of right after we released it was we should have just changed Audrey out to my hat.
Yeah. I was so sad because like
so much better.
it's literally shaped like your hat.
Yeah.
Like Audrey 2 is a green version of your hat.
Yeah.
I could have like photoshopped in some teeth and
yeah. It was a missed opportunity.
Well, in some ways, the animated ones are both much easier, but they can also be much more difficult. A good example of that is Japanese Girls Never Die, Ayumi Harajimi. Haruko Izumi is missing.
Yeah.
It took about 45 seconds to do my portrait on that, and it took something like an hour and a half and four different edits of your picture to get yours in.
And then didn't you have like other ones where it was like the exact opposite? Like for some reason yours just took forever because of...
I think I just take more care with yours. It's probably why it irritates me when I can't get yours like less washed out. And honestly, like, I don't know what it is. It might be like the lighting of the initial. It might just be, I don't understand Photoshop that well, but I mostly do good.
Yeah. Well, it's something that I do think you mostly do good. I think it's difficult when we look at these things from completely different light sources, like even just between, like even ignoring the light sources of the film, the fact that I'm taking a photo in a completely different lighting condition than you are also just balance isn't easy to do. And I think for the most part, you do pretty good.
I think the one that I got the color like perfect was actually the Craft Legacy. And that one was actually fun to do. That kind of like reinitiated my spark of like kind of giggling while I do the clickbait. But I'm a bit restricted my clickbait because I do it in the video size.
Yeah.
So I do it in 1080p, and then I have to have both our characters in the middle of the screen that fits within the Instagram style format.
Yeah.
So it's restricted. So I don't always get to choose the right characters, and I don't always get to choose the best scenes, but figure it out.
Yeah.
I will give special props to the Beardy and the Beast 100th video. And that being said, I'm evil. Do you know why I'm evil?
Why are you evil this time?
That 100 video symbol was AI art.
You monster.
It's almost like it empowered somebody to do something when they had zero budget and had to do it themselves and couldn't get it to look right. So
yeah.
And yeah, it just,
yeah.
I mean, sorry, it's based off of an AI. It's not directly AI.
Yeah.
And it's just 100. But I do like how it was the perfect place to introduce our new avatars. So we have those front and center and they look spicy. I thought you might have been a little overly caffeinated, so I switched you from coffee to tea. And then having the panning thing in the background with all our stuff was kind of cool.
That's where we introduced the permanent intro song too, right?
The permanent intro song. Yeah, because, and that was a fun thing, because I spent like an entire day just crushing it. Like, I was hyper fixated on it, and I got to a point, and I'm like, oh, it's almost perfect, almost perfect. And I'm like, Devin,
yeah,
get online right now. I need you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love it, but something's not quite right. And then you're just like, holy crap, you made this? And then we like, it was the ending that needed shored up, and your input perfected it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was really good. And again, that it's not an easy thing to do, because like we're trying to take our terrible singing and turn it into music, and
that was a fun process.
Yeah.
But what I like about these new avatars is in the future they're going to be easier to do the different versions of, to do Spooktober art and to do like any other special event stuff, to switch it over, because I'm in full control and I have a base model of our characters.
Yeah.
And I made it this time, not an acquaintance of ours, so I know how to do it. I know how to replicate it, and I've already made one for Ashley, which turned out okay as well.
Yeah.
And that being said, I did make a bit of an executive decision this year where I didn't do costumes or flair for our like our Christmas or Festivus, because usually I would do something like Antlers or something, but it was a combination of I realized too late, and I was like, I like having this being more specific to Spooktober as being an annual thing.
Well, especially where it wasn't a Christmas thing this year, exactly.
I mean, if you do look at the top of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, there's a little Santa hat there.
Yeah.
But I mean, I actually really liked our Spooktober this year.
Oh, it was so good. I was just about to shout that out for you too.
Well, it was just like, I have been reading Boruto just because I read Naruto from when it started coming out, and just something I did. And then it ended, and then I started reading the Boruto, and I'm not a super big Boruto fan, but he just so happened to get anime protagonist in the eye, and I also just so happened to get anime protagonist in the same eye. So I thought, this is the right character that I should be going as this year.
Yeah.
And then yours, I laughed the entire time. I put so much effort into it, where I made you casual Shantae, and because you have a Shantae tattoo, I took your old picture and turned that into your tattoo as Shantae.
It was amazing. Absolutely loved it.
I was laughing so hard as I was doing those edits.
It was so good. It'll be interesting to see how you change them. I think we're going to still kind of use the old avatars for... Did we say we're going to try to keep them around for the second wall? They're just going to have the kind of different styles, but yeah.
Maybe.
They'll come around somewhere.
Sure. We'll see. I mean, like, it might switch it up completely. We still got to... I still got to make the intro for that, which I have a really good one that I've ran by you. And also... I might save it for the filler arc. Filler art resources, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I especially like what I did with the frame for the BTS one. Like using transparencies and stuff, it was really, really fun to figure out how to do.
Yeah.
That being said, enough about our silly little podcast. As always. If you enjoy what we do, like and subscribe. Join the conversation in the comments or at our Discord, or check out Beardy and the Beast for a list of services we're available on. This has been Beardy and the Beast. Fiend.
Fiend.